We do have a lot of visitors, and for that we are thankful. Some families are in competition with one another. They're trying to see how many rows they can take up. We'll make more for you if you'll bring more, we promise. We're glad you're here. It's a beautiful Sunday, and we're appreciative of your attendance. And I know that the Lord especially is glad when His people gather to assemble before His throne and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's what we hope to do this morning. We live in a society today that has a tendency to cater to the outward man. You turn on the television and all you see are diets and different exercise equipment, all designed to cater to the outward man, to enable it to live longer upon this earth. We find individuals who are constantly undergoing surgeries and other procedures in order to keep their outer man young and attractive. We have thousands and thousands of medical personnel who have specialized in various components of the human body. And when you and I get sick, we don't want just a general practitioner anymore. We want a specialist, don't we? Someone who knows what he's doing so that he can get that area of the body well taken care of. We spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on vitamins and supplements, all designed to keep us active and to keep us strong in this world. My friends, we are so riveted upon the outer man that oftentimes we forget that we have a soul. Sometimes it seems as if the soul takes a secondary part in our life, if it takes part at all in our lives. It is very important that you and I stop occasionally and we consider the nature of our own soul. You might ask the question, well, why? Why do we need to stop and consider the soul so often? Because of what is written in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. This outward shell that you and I spend so much time developing, this outward body that we spend so much time trying to keep strong and attractive, is eventually going to pass from this life. And my friends, the only thing that will be left at that point will be the soul, the spirit of man. So for the next few moments, while yes, I may have a little bit larger audience than normal, we want to ask a few soul-searching questions. Question number one. Do you have a soul? It's a good question, isn't it? If I don't have a soul, then this lesson that I'm talking about today means absolutely nothing. And you might as well go ahead and focus on whatever you want to focus on when it comes to the outer man. The Bible teaches very clearly that we have a soul, doesn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your whole body and soul and spirit be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does not Paul there refer to the soul of man? My friends, you and I have a soul that is buried within this body. In fact, Paul says, not only are we just made of body and soul, but we are triune beings. There are three components of the human: a body, a soul, and a spirit. Yet, so oftentimes in our lives, we have a tendency to forget, we have a tendency to neglect, we have a tendency to ignore the fact that we really have a soul. That's not uncommon, is it? The Bible tells about a rich farmer who had much goods. After he has harvested his crop, he begins to look and he sees that he has absolutely nowhere to bestow all of his goods. He wonders, what in the world am I going to do? The idea came to him. I'll tear down all these barns and I'll build bigger barns and I'll store all my things in there. And then I will eat, drink, and be merry. My friends, he forgot his soul. The Bible says in Luke 12, verse 20, and God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You see, it's possible for me to get so wrapped up in this world that I forget about the soul. My friends, you and I need to remember there is a soul dwelling deep within this body. Point number two. Will that soul live on after death? The answer to that question is absolutely. And there are numerous texts that point to that very point, aren't there? Numerous passages of Scripture. We just read one a moment ago, Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. There is going to come a time when you and I are going to lay down this earthly tabernacle. This earthly tabernacle is going to be placed into the bosom of this earth. It may be incinerated by cremation, but this earthly tabernacle is going to be gone, and your soul will return to God who gave it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, listen to him, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Isn't that something? I can be absent from my body. I can cast this old body off, and guess where I can be? I can be right in the very presence of God Himself. On another occasion, Paul wrote these words in Philippians 1, verse 3. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Folks, Paul's talking about his death, is he not? He says that when I die, I have something better waiting on me. It's better for me to die and go where? And to be with Christ. Your soul will live on after death. Every person in here, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, will suffer the fate of death. Will you not? And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You may die on a Monday, and you may not be buried until Friday or Saturday. But the very moment that you die is the time when your spirit separates from your body. And my friends, you will at that time have that body placed into the earth, but your spirit will reside in another realm known as the unseen realm of the dead. Your soul lives on after death. Question number three. Does God care about your soul? God spent almost 4,000 years in the Old Testament history striving to bring about an eternal plan whereby He might redeem fallen man. And my friends, that plan has absolutely nothing to do with your outer man. Nothing. God placed a curse on the outer man, did He not? In the Garden of Eden. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust
shalt thou return.
Genesis 3:19.
God knew that you're going to go back to the dust. He's not concerned about your outer man. He's concerned about your inner man. He's concerned about your soul, folks. And that plan involved the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from all iniquity. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because God sent forth His only begotten Son, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Don't tell me God doesn't care about your soul. An eternal plan, 4,000 years in bringing it to fruition, culminating in the very death, the sacrifice, the shedding of His own Son's blood in order to redeem my soul from hell. Don't tell me God is not concerned about my soul. Question number 4. Are others concerned about your soul? I could stop right here and I could preach for an hour. If you're a child and you have Christian parents, guess what? Those Christian parents are concerned for their child's soul. At least they ought to be. Amen. I know children who come to the church services, who come to Bible class, and guess what? Mom and dad are not that faithful. Mom and dad are not that dedicated. Mom and dad are not going to be here all the time. And those children are concerned for mom and daddy's soul. You get here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, you have children, guess what? You take them to a Bible class, and there is a teacher there awaiting, and that teacher is concerned for those little souls. When a preacher of the gospel stands before you and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one reason he stands before you is because he is concerned about your soul, folks. But you know, the Bible talks about two special groups of people who are concerned about souls. One of those are the elders of the church. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your what? Souls. As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. I have been preaching the gospel for 27 years. I have sat in many an elders meeting, folks. And I have seen elders sit there and they have talked about those who are discouraged. They have talked about those who are digressing in their faith. They have talked about those who have deserted the faith. And I have seen the concern of those men as they talked about those souls. What in the world do we do for those individuals? They're concerned about your soul. But there's another group that's concerned about your soul as well. My friends, that's every faithful brother and sister that you have in Christ Jesus our Lord. They're concerned.
Amen.
Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. There's the faithful, the spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. James says that any man errs from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he that hath converted him has saved a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. James 5, 19 and 20. I've seen Christians. I know there's Christians in this congregation who are concerned about brothers and sisters who are unfaithful. When they're not here, they call them. When they're down and out, they go to them and ask them, what can we do? How can we help? They exhort them. They admonish them. They rebuke them. They do anything they possibly can in order to restore those individuals to faithful service. Why? Because they are concerned about the souls of their brothers and sisters in Christ. What have we said so far? Yes, I have a soul. Yes, that soul will live on long after my death. God is deeply concerned about it. And there are many faithful Christians, both relatives and non-relatives, who care deeply about my soul. Question number 5. Will your soul ultimately be judged? We read it a while ago, didn't we? Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die. And what? After this, the judgment. Folks, do not fool yourself. Your soul will stand before God and be judged. You will not miss that appointment. No one in here will. Again, we could go into the biblical text and we could talk about a lot of interesting things that are going to transpire before we actually make it to that judgment scene. We noted that at death the spirit separates from the body, do we not? Nobody goes into the ground, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. At that particular time, our spirit enters into what is known as the Hadean realm. Luke 16, beginning at verse 19. That realm is composed of two compartments. One of those is known as Tartarus. The other is known as Paradise. One is a place of comfort. The other is a place of torments. And there our souls await the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, when our Lord comes back from heaven, He will gather those souls and He will bring them with Him. All the dead will be resurrected from the grave. John 5, 28 and 29. Both righteous and wicked. Those souls will enter into a body. Note I didn't say that same old body. Oh no, it's a glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 53. And at that time all of us will be hastened into the judgment before God Almighty. And we'll stand before God and we will give an account of what is done in this body. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. So yes, your soul will be judged. Question number 6. Can your soul be lost? Absolutely. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 28, "Fear not them which are able to kill the body, but which are not able to destroy the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul." Where? In hell, folks. You can lose your soul to a devil's hell is what you can do. It's possible. Matthew 25, beginning about verse 31 through 46, we find Jesus Christ there, coming back as the judge of mankind, sitting upon his throne of judgment. All nations of the earth are gathered before him. He separates them one from another. One group on his left hand, another group on his right hand. Those on his right hand are the sheep, those on the left hand are the goats. Listen to what is said in verse 41. "Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You can lose your soul to a devil's hell, my friends. It's that simple. Get down to the conclusion and we ask you a question. Very simple. Are you concerned about your soul? Amen. There's a place known as the Achaean Cathedral. A-A-C-H-E-N. It's located in southern France. In that cathedral is buried a French emperor by the name of Charlemagne. His remains, however, are in a very unique position. Charlemagne sits upon his royal throne in that cathedral. He has been attired with all of his fine robes and royal attire. In his lap is a New Testament that is laid open. And they have positioned Charlemagne's finger to point to a verse. And the verse reads, "For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" My friends, Jesus teaches numerous lessons in that one little verse. But the most important lesson he teaches is this: there is nothing of greater importance to you and me. There's no more valuable possession that you and I possess than our own soul. Amen. And again, I ask the question, are you concerned about your soul? Your parents can be concerned about it. Your children can be concerned about it. Your spouse can be concerned about it. Your mom and dad can be concerned. The elders can be concerned. Every saint can be concerned. The preacher can be concerned. But if you're not, there is absolutely nothing that can be done for that soul. God's made provisions, has He not, to save the soul of lost mankind? And the plan is so simple. It's laid out in just a few words, is it not, in the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Very simple, isn't it? Teach and baptize. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, 15 and 16. Preach, teach, cause them to believe, and they will be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. If you have not done that, your soul is still separated from God. If you've reached that age of accountability, my friend, you can live as a Christian and lose your soul. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Galatians 5, verse 4. Paul said, "I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." It's possible for a child of God to fall from the grace of God and lose his soul. Maybe there's some Christians here who need to repent, confess their sins, and ask God to forgive them. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. 1 John 1, verse 9. Do you need to respond to the Lord's invitation? Care about your soul, folks. It's the most important thing you've got. Won't you come as we stand and sing?